We're going on in the letter to the Ephesians. I just want to point out a couple of things. He describes those to whom he's writing at Ephesus, probably at Ephesus. You were at that time without Christ, alienated from the community of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, without hope, and without God in the world. That word, without God, is ateii, atheos, without God, atheists. And he's trying to describe what a sad world that is. Whereas this little group of people in Israel and scattered throughout the Mediterranean Valley, Mediterranean basin there, they know God. And they know God because God revealed himself. And he taught them how to live. And he chastised them when they weren't faithful to him. Blessed are they, huh? Let the just man strike me, that will be a blessing, the psalm says, right? But let not the wicked man pour oil on my head. So this is, you see, what a blessing to belong to the people that God has called and chosen and educated and loved and chastised and brought back. And what a blessing. But now in Christ, you who once were far off have become near by the blood of Christ. You are part of Israel. You are part of the people God has chosen. You are a light to the world. And then he describes how this takes place. You see, God introduced this division into the human race. Right? He chose Israel. And he knew that neither Israel nor its neighbors would be equal to it. So there was enmity. In other words, the flesh was not, fallen human nature was not equal to the fact that Israel was so chosen. They were hated, they were persecuted, they were mocked, especially for their moral life, especially because of the power of their family life and the fact that they would never do abortions. And that's why Tacitus, Roman historian, called them the enemies of the human race because they would not do abortions and would not expose their children. It's funny how this issue of life and protecting life and honoring life and knowing where life comes from, keeps coming up, isn't it? And the minute there's a pagan society, people who are alienated from the community of Israel, the new Israel, the whole church, see, without hope and without God in the world. Imagine living without hope. No matter how bad things get, you know, we have hope. Suppose there's no meaning. What would get you out of bed in the morning except fear of losing your job? You know, what would you do? And then the greatness of the work of Christ. For he is our peace. He made both one. He broke down the dividing wall of enmity through his flesh, an allusion to the wall that's around the temple, huh? With a sign. Anybody who passes this point who is not a Jew will be killed. And they were. And the Romans could say, you don't kill anybody. They say, we'll do what we want when we get to our temple. And the Romans wouldn't dare touch it. They'd have the whole nation up in an uproar. Abolishing the law with its commandments and legal claims. Abolishing, yes, but not the realities that it taught. The Ten Commandments, the gift of law, to be instructed on what it means to live. And he created himself one new man in place of the two. That's the whole Christ, right? Thus establishing shalom. Shalom, as you know, peace, and the Bible means the presence and a relationship of everything that should be there. Establishing this, you see. It's the power of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the blood of Christ, that overcomes the enmity that arose because of the choice of Israel, who is still chosen. He's never revoked that. That he might reconcile both with God in one body through the cross. We are one body. Even now, poor, miserable, you know, fighting with each other, something like 5,000 different groups calling them. What a mess. To be called back into unity, huh? He came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. That, of course, is the allusion to the text in Isaiah. For through him, and this is the point, huh? For through him, Jesus Christ, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. That's our unity. And so you see, this is this keeping our minds alert to know what's really going on. See how Paul does that all the time? This vision. What is this all about, preaching the gospel? It's to make the human race one. Augustine says about heaven, it's the whole Christ loving himself. That's heaven. And you see this vision. There are going to be other examples of this kind of talking. Chapter 4. You are no longer strangers and sojourners. You're not outside the people. You're fellow citizens with the holy ones. Holy because they're called. Holy because they have a covenant. A covenant sealed in the blood of Christ. Built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. The foundation. With Christ Jesus as the capstone. See, this is a building. Through him, the whole structure is held together and grows. See, grows into a temple. It's not static. Sacred in the Lord. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. You see, we have a long way to go. That's why these ecumenical efforts are so important. Let the body of Christ be one again, and the history of the world will be different. There could be peace. So that's what we pray for. I'm not going to do much about the gospel because it's time to stop, but the exhortation is stay awake. How do you stay awake? Don't let your minds get too distracted.